Blog Talk Radio.
You. Ready. Good evening, podcast audience. It's Wednesday night, 9 o'clock, and it's time for the world premiere podcast, The Attic.
The Attic
is an urban-based podcast. All founding members are from the beautiful, toxic state of New Jersey. Now, my team, the folks that helped me put together this podcast, I got Big Brother, the Messenger, got my baby sister, and my baby brother. We have Sister Tippy, and we have Nurse Carmen. Now, if you'll give me 60 of your minutes, guaranteed to entertain you. And again, we want to make Wednesday night, 9 o'clock, an event in your podcast life. Every Wednesday night, 9 o'clock, we want you tuned into
The Attic.
Yeah, I don't care what y'all say, that sound nice. And I ain't hear nothing less than that.
Hey, you're getting pretty good at that, bro.
He sure is.
Thank you. See, watch this. That's how you open the show. See, that's how you open the show. See, the energy.
Okay. Okay.
Let me calm down. Woosah. Hey, good evening. Good evening, podcast audience. It's Wednesday night, 9 o'clock in the Attic, and we're here ready to clown and entertain. Again, every Wednesday night, 9 o'clock, I bring you an urban-based podcast on Blog Talk Radio, one of the products out of the Hodge to Hodge podcast series. And we try to give you a Jersey base. Now, we have a lot of folks who join us, but again, the base of this podcast, everybody's from New Jersey. So understand, we're going to keep a slant on shit, all right? I'm just putting that out there right now. But that's what we do. Tonight,
we talk real different.
We talk fast, and we understand there is no reason to actually say all the letters in a word. But anyway, listen to what we want to do. Good evening, Cass. How are you doing this evening?
Doing great.
All right. Come on. Talk to me. I'll get that energy molding. Hey, all right. I know what's this. I know some shit that'll get the conversation started. Let's talk about guns. Yeah, we're going to let's jump right into it. Listen, with all of the mass shootings, and again, I'm not even trying to really focus on right now the effects, because I think we're pretty clear on the effects of guns. But let's just talk about gun control with respect to how do you control it? I mean, should there be a limit on what's actually legal? Because now, let me tell you, I get the whole I'm a hunter type shit, but how many people hunt with automatic weapons?
No.
How many people, I mean, you know, how many people hunt like that? So when we start talking about gun control on this podcast tonight, again, what are your feelings on that? Me personally, I think nobody should have a damn gun. I do. I think nobody should have a gun.
Right.
And right now, until the police prove themselves worthy to the black community, they shouldn't even have no guns. Give them a whistle and a pager. Let them call for help. But again, I think we have to do something about the out of control. And you know, it's funny. I'm sorry. It's funny when I say out of control, because it's really not out of control. If you look at the demographics of where guns are legal and you can bear arms without a permit, you don't see a whole lot of people of dark skin living in them areas. So when we talk about gun control, let's talk about the whole thing. So I'm going to start to open this up. And my first question is, should there be a ban on certain weapons, or should it be okay? In other words, should there be a ban on automatic weapons? Is there ever a reason to own an automatic weapon? I put that question out as a question. Can you think of any?
Negative, Ghost Rider.
There's no reason to own an assault weapon.
An
any law-abiding
okay.
citizen does not need to own an AR-15. You know, you're not going to go hunting with an AR-15. You're not going to, you know, kill rabbits in the backyard with an AR-15. So, no, those should be banned.
Well, now let me ask you a question. And again, being military, that is the weapon of choice, well, small arms weapon of choice for pretty much all the services. When we talk about our rights to bear arms, should there be a limit to that? And you know, I am one of the opinion, and trust me, I am not even trying to pose as a scholar in any aspect whatsoever, but the right to bear arms, wasn't that before we had a militia? I mean, so
we had automatic weapons.
I'm just saying it doesn't matter about the type of weapon here now, but that, as I read it, was we don't have a militia, so now we have the right to bear arms to protect ourselves. So if we have military, why do we still have the right to have weapons? That's all I'm saying, because I think nobody should have them. That's my point.
Agreed.
But right now, watch this. There's so many weapons out there. How do you take those weapons off the street? Because I know people, and I have friends that have 200 and 300 weapons. And these are not military people I'm talking about. I'm talking about I have friends, non-military related, that have hundreds of weapons. Now, again, you know, if shit break out, I might call them and see if we still cool. And if we cool, depending on what breaks out, yeah, I'm going to go to their house because we'll have a fortress there. As long as I'm not the reason shit ain't cool. You understand what I'm saying? But again, they have 200 and 300 weapons. I mean, how much is enough? And how do you control that? Or should we control that? Now, again, if you look at statistics, like for example, Vermont is if you can buy a weapon, you can carry a weapon. But not too often you hear about armed robberies. Not too often you hear about people actually getting shot. If you look at the statistics out of these states, I mean, I get now gun violence is going down. Because, again, now you are relatively certain when you draw on somebody, you got a 50% chance of catching some hot shit yourself. So, therefore, I don't know if it makes you think differently. But I don't know. We got to do something about these damn guns, man. What do you think about background checks? You think that helps? I mean, stricter background checks, so to speak.
And they got to be across the board. You know, they can't just be for some people. You're selling them at shows, there's no background check. You're giving them to family members, there's no background check. So if you got to have it, it's got to be across the board for every gun transaction. So it's monitored and recorded.
See, and right off the bat, when you open up with across the board, see, therein lies the problem that America mm-hmm. can never get away from. There's nothing they're going to do across the board except send the disfranchised to jail in bigger numbers. That's the only thing America is going to do across the board. Anything else that evolves across the board, politics or reasoning, we're not going to discuss that in this country. So when we start talking across the board, we got to go back to the drawing board and come up with something else. But it is, if they would do it across the board, again, if you own a gun, they should be able to track that damn gun at any point in time, man. They should be, again, that there should be a check. And I take both sides of the issue, but I wanted to know, my base side is no one should have guns. But I'm a realist, and I know that's not going to happen because I don't have hundreds. But, you know, it would take a couple of trips. It would take a couple of trips out of the house to take them all out. I couldn't take them all out in one trip. But I'm not just willing to give mine up. And let me tell you something. I hope I have to never shoot anybody. I hope, but you know, but if that shit has to happen, you know, we have to do what we have to do. Of course, you know, because now we come fight or flight, and I got to do what I got to do there. But let's get back to let's get back on this gun control. I mean, what can we do? What suggestions do we have?
I don't understand why it just can't be dealt with like the way you do when you have to go for, let's say, your driver's license. The way you have to register, you know, every so many, you know, the way you have to do for your license. Why can't it be handled that same way to get a gun?
So just like you register your car at the DMV, you're going to register your weapon.
Exactly, like
right.
The same type of process, exactly.
That's clever.
One word, NRA. Well, I guess that's three words.
Well, three letters.
I mean, well, they don't even have, they're broke right now. They don't even have the power
they don't even have
that kind of power. They're broke
right
now.
Don't you believe that? Don't watch
trust
this.
Trust me, they're having an eternal battle right now. They don't even have that kind of power anymore.
But that's the name, Lapierre. He only took about $400,000 from him. Now, let me tell you something. I'm saying only.
But they're fighting internally. Yeah. Him and what's the other guy that Oliver was it? North?
No. What's that other guy? Oliver North.
Who's the other guy?
Lapierre.
Yeah.
And who's the other guy? Him and who's the other guy? Because they're fighting internally right now.
Well, all I'm saying is, when it comes to the NRA, again, I've not seen people lobby on that level before. They have when I tell you they have unlimited dollars,
But people are not paying their dues and stuff like that because money is being mishandled.
These weapons.
Trust me, there's issues going on big time right now with them.
The folks in the NRA, let me tell you something. I don't think, for the most part, the members, that's getting a lot of newscast, but they members don't really give a shit about that. All they members want to make sure of is that they keep lobbying so they keep owning guns. Sure, everybody knows when your organization gets that big.
A lot of them feel now that something needs to be done because of all of these shootings and stuff that are happening. A lot of the members feel that something even has to be done.
Well, again, they may feel that, but they don't feel it to the point where what needs to be done, you give up your guns. Let's see if they feel it like that. They don't.
Well, no, they don't. They're not saying that something as far as giving up the guns. No, they're not saying that. But they do feel that background checks and stuff like that needs to be done. No, they're not saying give up your gun. Absolutely not. They're not saying that. But they do feel that background checks and stuff like that need to be done. So that's huge for them because even in the past, they weren't even feeling that.
Well, see,
relating it to voting booth. The NRA doesn't want to give an inch on anything.
Nothing.
I agree.
Anything
that's
that,
what the members say. That's what Americans say. But that guy called the president a week ago, and Trump changed his mind overnight after the president of the NRA told him we're not doing background checks.
Oh, listen, they flex with mad muscle. The NRA is on some consigliere type shit. They don't play. I don't think that anything that they want, they don't have the dollars, the lobbyists, and the political influence to get it. And here's the question. Why would you not want to have thorough background checks for weapons going out to people? I mean, again, that's just poisonous to think I'm going to stop that. Why would you not want to have that?
I'll tell you how the whole thing will change. Let all black people start registering to get a gun, and that's when they'll change the law.
Yeah, I mean, watch this. See,
that's when the laws will change. When black people start all registering to get guns, that's when the law will change.
Hold on, go ahead.
That's when the laws will change.
To be stricter?
Yeah, that's when the laws will start changing. When black people start registering to get guns, that's when the laws will change.
Well,
that's brilliant.
I'm just telling you, that's when the laws are going to change.
I think you might be on to something.
But you know what, what's going to happen? They're going to want us to give our guns up, but they're going to keep theirs.
But as far as any kind of change is being done, when they start seeing black people registering to get getting guns, that's when they're going to want to start changing some of those laws.
I think that's brilliant.
And let me tell you something.
That's when they're going to start doing background checks.
Yeah, because they're going to get nervous. Black people with guns, they're going to start getting nervous, and they're going to start changing them laws. Until then, ain't nothing going to change.
Well, all I know is...
Another thought.
I'm sorry, we can't hear you.
What? Me?
Oh, I thought you were saying something.
All right,
go ahead.
Last year, there were 11.5 million guns manufactured in the U.S. 11.5 million. Why are we not targeting, no pun intended, why are we not going after the gun manufacturers in some capacity? I don't know how, and I don't know what.
Yeah.
About 10 years ago, Congress passed laws that you cannot sue gun manufacturers.
Yes, that's right.
I didn't say sue. I didn't say sue. But maybe more tax or more regulation or more something.
Because the NRA is not having that. Yeah. That's when the NRA raises that head and lets you know, hey, easy on that.
Easy on that.
Because it's just not going to let that happen.
And what about making bullets more expensive? You must think twice, you know what I mean?
No, you pack your own. When you have weapons in that number, we pack our own bullets. You don't have to buy bullets. But I understand
man,
what you're saying.
You're too street for me.
No, but listen, think about this. Think about this. Think about, I got a gun, right? And while I'm at work, I fall down and I hurt myself. So, you stand by for the segue. I'm working on this. So, I fall down and I hurt myself. And instead of the doctor giving me pain medicine for a week, he gives me pain medicine for 8 weeks. So, now I'm off work. I'm high all the time because I got this pain medicine and I got a gun. Let's talk about the opioids. I was trying a new segue, but let's talk about opioids for a minute, and we're going to get off of these guns just for a second. Last week, I think it was, Johnson & Johnson settled, a couple billion dollars lawsuit and told them we're going to give you this now, go away. Let me tell you something before we go deep into this. We have to understand medicine in America. Medicine in America... All the money we spend in research, we research a cure. We don't want to treat. Excuse me. We research a treatment because we don't want to cure shit. We don't want to cure a damn thing. There is no money in the cure. Did you hear what I said? There is no money in the cure. So
but
therefore,
you're talking big pharmacy.
Anyone?
You're not
talking to people.
No, that's not true. You're not talking to people.
Yeah, what
are
we curing?
Nurses and doctors and putting their hands.
Yeah,
on.
I'm talking to them too. Yes, I am.
No, you're
there
not.
There is no money in the cure. Okay, the money is in the treatment. That's why hospitals have stockholders. And again, all I'm simply saying is, when we start talking about opioids, okay, we'll dope you up to the point where you forget or we erase the pain of what's going on with you, so now we have you somewhat addicted. Now, I got to say this, because it's all over. Whenever we talk about opioids, it's funny, because when the government put crack in the neighborhoods, watch this, in these special neighborhoods, then it was just a drug thing. They addicts. Now we've got the other side of America hooked on prescription drugs. We're going to give it a cool name now. We're going to give it a legal name, and with that legal name, we can give it a lot more legal dollars. So that whole opioid epidemic, the government and the, well, the pharmaceutical companies knew what they were doing when they put them out there, and their profits is all that they had in mind. And I think that they ought to be treated just like you want to treat Nicky Barnes, Frank Lucas, just like you want to treat other known drug dealers. I think corporations that produce and distribute that medicine in the numbers that they've been doing should be held accountable. What do you think?
Absolutely.
So you don't think opioids should be available to people who need it?
No, no, no. See, again, we're not saying, I'm not saying every prescription they write or every pill. When you have CEOs at a Johnson & Johnson now going on tape or making blackout face recording saying, we knew what they were going to do. We knew this was going to be addictive, but through the addiction, our stockholders made more money. No, when you hear people who work there make testimonies like that, yeah, they should. Johnson & Johnson, this should be some folks in there that go to jail. It ain't about money right now. Because they got money.
Ain't no difference in a cartel in South America.
None at all.
Exactly. Exactly. They should be held accountable for what they did.
Yeah, see, they're selling a drug.
Yeah, they flooded the market with that. They flooded the market with that.
They told doctors it wasn't addictive. They put out all this stuff telling doctors false information, made it so cheap. They're no different than a cartel working out of South America.
And that's what I say.
I agree.
They just wear suit and tie.
Where's the line?
Huh?
You still have to have the drug available for people who need it.
Yes, you do. Listen, I'm not saying stop
that,
it.
We're not saying that. We're saying that the strategy, that the way
more.
They went about doing it, they went about doing it for greed. They didn't go about it to help people medically, to help them. They went about it purely for greed. They flooded the market to make money. They didn't do it to help people. They flooded the market to make money. They had statistics. They had I'm sorry?
We got this thing in North America where it's all about money. Everything is about money. And let me tell you something. Anything that you put in North America that's going to make a bunch of shareholders and stockholders money, their game. Their game, as long as when they look at the collateral damage, they're not right in that immediate area. Yeah, let's make 5 or 6 mil, and then maybe we'll do something else. Again, money drives our nation to do some craziness, man. Money drives our nation to the point where, and again, please disagree if you want. If I've got a cure for cancer, well, let's just not say cancer. I've got a cure for disease or treatment for disease. I guarantee you in this nation, we're going with the treatment, not the cure. Why would I want to give you some medicine? Why would I want to give you a medicine one time, $200, and cure you, and you go on with your life when I can string you out and get a couple $100,000 from you through your Medicaid? See, again, we don't give a shit about curing anything. We want to treat you and make you think everything is going to be all right. And until that mindset changes in this country, right after they finish paying the $1 billion lawsuit from Johnson & Johnson, there'll just be something else. There'll just be something else.
What about Tyler Skaggs, the baseball player? They discovered he OD'd on opioids. All in the news now.
Let me tell you something. See, I've had small procedures where they give me Percocet. Now, let me tell you something, and I got to tell you, a Percocet with a glass of wine, I'm just saying. Huh?
And Jerry Springer on the TV.
Watch this. And the remote in your hand. What? Come on now. Does it get any better? That's all I'm saying. For that couple of hours right there. But again, if you have no other purpose in life right now, or you're not driven by anything else, you can stay in that Percocet or that oxycodone, Oxycontin mode. And what I'm saying.
Producer, yes. We need a legal disclaimer here. Do not try this at home. Do not try this at home.
I would hope you wouldn't anymore. A Percocet, a glass of wine now, co-producer probably could never get up. But again,
stop
you know,
all the audience.
All I'm saying is that the drug manufacturers, and this is what makes it corrupt, evil, and with malicious intent, they knew when they started this campaign what it was designed for. It is designed to sell billions of these tablets or these pills and make money hand over fist. That's what it was about. And that,
so
I say,
any different?
Well, they knew it. They knew it was addictive, and they did it anyway.
And what you got to remember is
different than the tobacco companies who 30 and 40, 50 years ago knew how addictive, how harmful nicotine was, and eventually they took a fall. So these drug companies are in the same position, and they're going to take a fall eventually.
Well, watch this. I'd rather take my fall after I got about 10, 12 billion in the bank. So I'm going to do this destructive shit while my bank account just continues to grow. So even when I fall, or even when they pay back 2 or 3 billion, if you made 10 billion off that crazy shit, you're still ahead of the game. And
right.
That's the game.
But
that's the name of the game.
Money Johnson & Johnson paid, it really, I mean, it may seem like a lot to folks, but it's still, they still made so much money off of that.
Yeah, of course. I'll bet you the $10 billion they paid. I'm just saying, when you put that shit to their actual bottom line, I don't know what percentage that is, but I'm sure it's not a big percentage.
Running a calculator.
Okay, that means that the computer world agreed with me. But but listen, I know people who got hooked on them on opioids, man. And sometimes, again, they slip off into that addiction right in front of your eyes, and you might as well say your eyes are wide shut because you don't. I mean, now we look for it, but back in the day, that was. I mean, I knew. I knew people who would talk to each other like, let me get a lewd from you. Let me get a value from you. I knew housewives, my kids, my friends' mothers, they pop a vial in front of you just to take the edge off. I mean, that shit was just widespread.
What you got to remember also, too, is the doctors, they got a part to play in this, too, because who's writing all these prescriptions?
But I'm writing prescriptions based on if I push this many of these opioids this week, that's going to give me a bonus. Why would I not do it?
I'm saying you get paid by the prescription you write, but also, too, that's like he getting his cut off of that, too.
He
see where that's affecting them like that.
Of course
this is actually made for you to take about maybe 7 to 12 days, and by then that pain should have went away. But you keep going back to the doctor because it's a way it make you feel, and before you know it, you're hooked.
Yeah.
But one of the questions earlier was, what about the people who have long-term pain? I mean, what's the answer for them?
Again, if you have that long-term pain, then these opioids, again, I guess you have to have them. So, again, my stance is not against the opioid. It's not. It's against how they are prescribed so that they encourage addiction. Now, if you've got that long-term pain and those opioids are the only thing that's going to stop that pain, then you need to take these pills for 5 or 6 years. I mean, to me, see, I don't call that an addiction. Because you've got real pain here. But most of the folks who just abuse that, after about 2 weeks, the pain is gone. You're just in love with the euphoric feeling that you get from those pills. See, that's where the addiction is. I mean, from where I look at it.
But, I mean, I mean, we had people ODing and all these deaths and stuff on it. Clearly, at some point, you know, with these doctors... Didn't they start to see where this was, again, this epidemic, people ODing and dying off of this stuff? And yet you still continue to write all these prescriptions for it?
They want to make their cut. They want to get their piece of the pie.
So that's why they have to be held accountable for it, too.
Of course. Now, you got to remember, okay, Johnson & Johnson and these big pharmaceutical, and I only keep saying Johnson & Johnson because they just settled a lawsuit. But these big pharmaceutical companies, and again, I'm sorry, to that doctor who's offered a bonus of $50,000, $60,000 for writing that prescription. Well, let me tell you something. Until you've been a doctor for some number of years, you ain't really keeping most of the money that you make. Because they tell me that medical school, oh, that shit, you pay for that for a long time. So if I'm out fresh in my practice and I'm getting a bonus to prescribe something that I've been told is not going to permanently damage people, I could see me doing that. I could. I'm sorry. I can see the new doctor being on the take.
Yeah, but I mean, you ain't crazy. You see what your own two eyes what this is doing. You see. You ain't crazy.
Watch this. I ain't crazy, but after what I said, and I'm sorry, and I don't mean any respect. I'm just telling you what I feel. I might see what's happening, but the first time Johnson & Johnson kicked me back that check, and let's just say it's $125,000, you can get trained to see, but look, but not see. And
becomes a moral issue then. Then where's your morals at that point? I mean, if you can live with it, you like it, then I love it. Then that's what it comes down to.
Okay.
And if you're taking money back from a company because you're writing a prescription, you don't deserve to have those credentials.
And again, you know
that's
what
I'm saying. It becomes a moral issue then. You took an oath.
Thank you. I'm talking to
that doctor now. You took an oath.
But see, again, because it's my oath, I understand that by me making this money, I mean, if that happens, and I'm pretty sure it does, but again, I'm not a doctor. I never got a check. But I'm pretty sure when you have pharmaceutical companies, whatever it is that they've done to make doctors push those prescriptions at that rate, trust me, there's got to be a pot of gold at the end of that rainbow. And you're right. If you sell out to that and that's the job you have, you don't have a right to have that job. But people are people. Yeah, people are people. I'm sorry.
I'm not a doctor, but I used to play one in the bedroom. And it's no different than the top of the chain. It's no different than people bringing, let's just say the Colombians, bringing, you know, drugs. And then that goes to the middleman. Then he breaks it down and sells it to the kids on the street.
That's
no different than what they're pretty much doing. The pharmaceutical companies are making their money. The doctor is making his money. You got some doctors who see where this is money. You just gave somebody whatever 10, 12 pills, and they back 2 days later.
Well, again, you know, that's when that corruptness just starts running rampant. But again, the money that's made in opioid, what just makes me look at it real different is, again, because it's opioids, because we're talking stockholders and companies, we don't call it a drug epidemic or drug addiction. We got pandemics and whatever. We got fancy names for them so that we can provide more government funding for them, because the general consensus is the opioid addiction that we're going to fund don't really include a lot of folks in those poverty areas.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting too. I thought it was interesting when it was crack, you know, they just told us to say no.
Just say no.
And that was it. But when it was opioids, it was an epidemic, and now we got all this funding. I thought that was pretty interesting.
Well, and again, I'm sorry?
The opioid crisis is running epidemic in Appalachia. There's a national shortage of Narcan to reduce the effect. It's everywhere. It's not just in specific neighborhoods.
Right. And crack is everywhere. But they just told us to say no.
Yeah, I mean, because we wasn't. See, when you're talking about crack epidemic,
just say no to drugs. That's what they told us to do with crack. They said just say no.
When you're doing crack commercials,
they didn't expect it. They didn't expect it to, you know, spread
drift
out.
Over.
They thought it would just stay in certain neighborhoods.
those who it wasn't intended for began to see the euphoric feeling those it was intended for, and they were like, damn that, I got to get some of that. And that's how that leaked over.
If you got some heroin and fentanyl and you cutting it with fentanyl, sure, everybody going to want a bag of that lean on me.
That's what they call the lean on me.
Yeah.
But
I'm
going to
leave that stuff alone.
Huh? But yes.
I'm going to leave that alone.
Hey, well, you know, we talk about opioids and we talk about doctors prescribing it. A little off the subject, but what about my man right here in Ohio State in jail right now for killing the people for overprescribing their medicine? I mean, somebody got to check the doctor. But watch this. Who can check the doctor? Because in order to check the doctor, one must have matriculated through medical school yourself. And once you go through that rite of passage, they're not real easy to tell on each other.
Medical board.
Okay. I'll go with that. So again, I'm staying off topic just for a minute. You think the doctor from Ohio State, you think he going to do big time, or you think he going to walk?
Big time.
Oh, he going to do time.
He going to do time.
Big time.
No.
It's the next one
that
come along that's going to get all.
But watch this, though. Wasn't his position that he was actually helping those folks along?
Doesn't
he
matter.
Thought he was doing... I know that. Yeah, he needs to never come out of jail, from what I read.
So
but wasn't his
position?
Yeah, well, that was his position, though, right? They were so bad, I'm helping them along?
Yes.
But that ain't
okay,
his fault.
Right.
Do no harm.
No, that ain't.
Doctors only to do no harm.
That's right.
That's part of it.
Uh-oh. Go ahead, Perk. Give us the oath.
No, I'm not. Thanks.
All right. Because I know you know it.
You know I know it.
I don't want my doctor deciding when my time has come.
Me neither. You know what? Hey, if you need to put batteries in that damn compressor that's breathing for me, yo, change the batteries, man. You know, make sure you got that generator hooked up. But you don't make that decision. When the time is time, or if I haven't already predetermined that, but, you know, that shit that they do, based on this case in Ohio, those that were doing it probably ain't doing it as much now. But, you know, he thought he was helping people. And really, is that your call to help people? But getting back to these opioids, man, I think if the nation is sincere about really addressing this, and let me tell you something, first of all, they're not. I say again, we want to do some news coverages and put some stories out there, but they're not, because the people they have to check are powerful, influential people. These are people who are making millions off of the stocks and bonds in the pharmaceutical company. So they're never going to check that. But if they wanted to, as with everything else, you start handing out strict penalties. Again, here's that thing America hates to hear, across the board. And then you can address this problem for real. But you're not going to do that, so you don't really care about this problem, is what I see. You want to talk about it. But some problems, it doesn't take a whole lot to fix. For example, if you know all the, let's just say all the cocaine in America is coming out of Colombia, it shouldn't be that hard to stop that. I'm sorry. You put all your resources in Colombia or right up the coast there, and you can stop that if you want to. But again, just the opioid epidemic is just like the drug epidemic that we have here. America's, we make money off of people suffering. We bring drugs into this country so that we can have a task force to stop drugs. We allow people to get hooked on opioids so that we can steer them to the clinic that's designed to recover and bring you back. That's what we do in this nation. That's not all we do, but we do a lot of that. Well, excuse me, they do a lot of that. as they continue to make money. I'll create an issue, and then I'll create a fix for the same issue. That's what our government is very fond of doing. That's what I believe. So the opioids, it's no accident. So now we have money for drug rehab based on a situation that was created. I've got another situation to complement the one I created. Again, that's what we do in this nation. And until that mindset changes, after the opioid epidemic, there'll just be another thing. That's my feelings on the matter. What do you think?
Well, I think it's like we said, that the companies are no different than drug lords down in South America. We know in the 80s under Reagan that the CIA was bringing drugs in to fund the Contras in South America. I mean, the government was actually bringing cocaine into America for the president of the United States in the 1980s. So none of this is a surprise when you think about it.
True.
It ain't. You know what? You're right. I hate to use the words of Malcolm. Again, just another case of chickens coming home to roost. You set traps out for individuals, and then everybody gets caught up in it. So we talking about we got anti-drug forces, anti-drug task force, while we're bringing drugs in. For real? And then every once in a while, I know we're talking about opioids, but it's all the same. We'll have a news conference where we just seize $250,000 in some type of drug while we just let $20 billion of that same drug come through the gate. Again, we are so fixated on making more money than we're ever going to need in this nation that, again, you can't put – you, depending on what you're willing to pay, America probably will take part in almost anything. I believe that. Depending on – what it is you're willing to pay? Because go ahead, brother.
I ain't heard you all. Cat.
Talk to me.
Hey, this is why we as a people have got to wake up, because there is a game being played, and what we have to understand is we're the pawns in this game, and we have to wake up to it. Do you know? As you guys were speaking on it, we funded a war off the backs of black people. The drugs that were shipped in here, they were shipped into the black communities and stuff, killing out our communities, and they funded a war with that. They're constantly doing different things off of our back, and we keep falling victim to the prey. And it's time for us, and I say black people, but as you said too, the chickens coming home to roost, is it's everybody starting to get caught up in it, except for that 1%. And it's time for us as a people, not just a black people, but as a people, to wake up to these games. Because they've got all kind of games set up here, and we keep falling victims to it. And we've got to wake up. We've seen this before. The same way you mentioned the crack and the opioid. That's the game. The game started out as crack. Then it turned into opioid. It's still a game constantly going around and around, and instead of us being more alert, we just continue to fall prey and blaming people. We've got to stop blaming people and realize that there is another way. Now, if you want to know about that other way, you can tune in tomorrow at 9 o'clock.
I should have bought a Hyundai. Should have bought a Hyundai. Hey, but hey, listen. you can stop plugging your show on my show. You can stop plugging your show on my show. Hey, but listen.
That was a nice way of putting time for a revolution.
You see what I'm saying? All right. Hey, it won't be televised this time, though. Hey, but listen, as we get ready to bring our podcast. Our podcast to a close. I thank you for hanging out with the Addicts tonight. Again, we wanted to address gun violence and give you a different perspective on this opioid crisis that we have in this nation. Again, we're going down the wrong road right now. We're being led down the wrong road. And at some point, I mean, as a nation, not a black, white, green, brown, as a nation, we have to get together and decide. First thing we got to do is get rid of Donald Trump. Then we can sit at a table and decide who we not going to like. But no, first thing we really need to do is get rid of this president, who I think just keeps us on a real negative course. And then as a nation, man, we have to put aside a lot of differences, man, and go into what we call sincere team building. Now, again, it sounds real nice when we speak it as rhetoric, but I don't think it'll happen, but I'm ever so hopeful that it will happen. But I don't think that this nation, that's going to happen without a whole lot of turmoil. I'll put it like that. It's not going to be a happy agreement when we just decide to come to the tables and negotiate with each other like equals. But we will get there, but it's going to be a rough road getting there. Hey, listen, that's our show for tonight. I thank you for hanging out. So let's say goodnight, Cass.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Night, night.
Okay, baby.
Night,
well,
everybody.
I thought my baby brother was going to say, good night, Cass. Hey, good night. We're out. Let me go before he get X-rated. Peace.